Fam, what's going on, folks? You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole, and I'm joined by a guest co-host. And then before I introduce him, I'm going to give y'all a little rundown on this clip, you know, because I just can't have him in and y'all not know what he does. Like, look, this is my co-host, man. My guest co-host is also co-host of Locked On Wizards podcast and Washington Football Maniacs, Brandon Scott. Let me introduce Brandon, my man Brandon. What's going on? What's up? What's going on, Brandon? Welcome again to the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm glad to be here, man.
Glad to have you on. The homie Ray is out, so it's going to be me and you, my man, but we're going to hold it down. But how you been? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? I've been seeing you at Wizards games. You and Ed have been holding it down at Wizards games. I loved y'all questions at the press sermon to tell y'all that. But yeah, man, like, how was that experience for you, you and Ed, covering Wizards games and whatnot?
Oh, man, it's unreal for both of us, man. I mean, we're kind of still in awe, man, you know, because we finally got our conditions here, man. We're having fun, you know, get in there. And I was proud of my guy, E, man, because, like I said, I've got my foot wet several games this year, man. But my man came through there first time out asking hard questions for him, man.
Yes. So,
man, shout out to my man, E.
Yeah, shout out to him, man. Like I retweeted that his question was legit. Like, that was a real question, you know what I mean? So, to me, it went viral, man. He got a reaction from somebody. I'm not going to like put it on, but he got a reaction out of somebody, and it was cool. It was cool to see.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, you know, we're having a ball, man. I mean, we're trying to keep the positivity flowing, man. You know, obviously, it's a rebuild for, you know, first year rebuild, man. So, both me and E, we said, you know, looking at the season, it's not going to be judged by wins and losses, just progression of young guys. So, you know, watching Denny do his thing. Watching Jordan Poole take his L's and keep him moving. You know, Blau was doing the same before he went down with injury. Kisper becoming a three-level scorer. So there's optimism in the arena, man. So definitely. It's hard, but it's there.
No, definitely. I agree. I agree. But I mentioned, you know, this is the Urban Sports Scene. You can check us out at www.urbansportsscene.com. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that red subscribe button, like this video. Also, do not forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Yeah, I'm trying to get that Urban Sports Scene Facebook group jumping. So, yeah, y'all join it because we're starting to get popping now. We're starting to get it now. We're getting lit. Anyway, man, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the rumor that the Commanders will draft Jaden Daniels at number 2. And finally, at 8:40, we'll debate whether the Wizards are a better team with Jordan Poole playing the point guard, playing the point. All right, let's get right into it. On the Herd, Colin Cowherd said he was told that the Washington Commanders will draft LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels with the second pick. Here is the clip where Colin Cowherd explains himself.
And going back and forth, I'm told they believe he's more consistent than Drake May. He is quicker, more mobile than Drake May. An offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, who will have some say in this, has had multiple quarterbacks in his college and pro coaching career that play like him. Quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels, are important. They're very hypermobile, right? And that matters a lot. Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, as you're trying to figure out the sophisticated NFL pocket and all it asks, it gives you a couple of years to pick up first downs and move the sticks with your feet. Even Patrick Mahomes acknowledged the light didn't truly go on until year 3. But the ability to move, Washington's got a bad offensive line, pick up first downs with those feet as you're learning the game is important.
So first off, what are your thoughts on what he said in the latest rumor?
You know, there's been a lot of smoke and mirrors surrounding the number 2 pick, man. You know, 1 week is Drake May's the guy. Next week is Jaden Daniels. We've heard J.J. McCarthy. I'm sure Bo Nix has got some love. But, you know, looking at number 2 as far as Jaden Daniels, my biggest thing is this. If you look at the roster construction, what you're trying to do in Washington, you know, the fact that we went ahead and traded Sam Howell, you need the guys going to come in and start right away. And that's why I look at Jaden Daniels as having a leg up on Drake May, because Drake May, to me, is a guy who's going to need a year to sit and develop. Jaden Daniels, you know, look, with that pick, the number 2 pick, don't even walk. run to the podium because he's right. I mean, he's the guy. He's a generational talent. He can throw for the pocket. He can stretch the field. He can run. He can throw for accuracy. He can throw the deep ball. I mean, you know, the biggest question mark really is, you know, obviously he threw to a couple of really good receivers. So, yeah. How does he kind of, you know, kind of translate to the NFL level of dealing with, you know, new set of receivers with Terry McLaurin and seeing what we can do with Jahan Dotson? Because in my opinion, we should throw him the slot. But, you know,
did you say Jahan Dotson in the slot?
Absolutely. Okay. So, no, yeah, with Jaden Daniels, man, you go ahead and you sprint to the podium. I mean, at number two, I'm taking Jaden Daniels because he can step right in and he can start. I think that's a big reason why they went ahead and signed Marcus Mariota. Very similar player, similar experience. Him, you know, former number two overall. So, you know, he's that vet behind him. We can teach him. So I think all the right pieces in motion for him to be the guy at number two.
Yeah, I think that, you know, regardless of, I think a lot of people think I bash Jaden Daniels. So I'm just trying to keep this positive when it comes to Jaden Daniels. He's got a lot of ability. I think that it's hard to say with Colin Cowherd. What he heard is legit, right? Because like you said, we've heard for multiple weeks, it was Drake May's definitely the guy. J.J. McCarthy's the guy. They're in love with J.J. McCarthy. Now it's Jaden Daniels' turn. You know what I mean? It's like, and it goes around, right? Because initially it was like Jaden Daniels was the favorite. Now it goes back around a different cycle. So we don't really know. But in terms of like, you know, can this man ball? Yeah, this man can ball, regardless of, you know, the situation of, he's played with top receivers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, played with top receivers. We can make the argument that folks had that question too with another LSU quarterback in Joe Burrow, and he panned out. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, he's played with top tier receivers compared to the other guys, you know, but, you know, when you watch him play, you can't deny that the dude can ball. Like, the dude had 1,100 yards running the football as a quarterback. So when people say he's ready, I don't know if he's truly ready as a complete passer. I don't think he's more like he's better than, say, Drake May as a passer. I do think that his legs do give him an advantage, though. Something that would I totally agree with what Colin Cowherd had to say in that aspect, into a point where if he's not getting it, he's still able to run and he still is an electric runner, to a point where that can kind of help him until he starts figuring out the NFL game. So I do think when people say he's ready, he's more ready than the other quarterbacks. I'm like, maybe because of the element of running, being that guy who can run. And I think that kind of stalls time for his passing, you know, his passing knowledge to develop.
Oh, I completely agree. And that's the big reason why I put him as the guy we need to go get, because our offensive line, depending on who we get a left tackle, because we still need to go get that franchise left tackle, is going to determine, you know, what this, the line is still kind of a project in motion, right? So we still need to add pieces to the O-line. But his legs is going to give him the opportunity to extend plays. In my honest opinion, as far as the best pure passers in his draft, he's number three. I got Drake May as number one as far as his potential as a passer. He's the best passer in the draft, in my opinion. And Bo Nix, you know, those two are the best pure passers. I mean, really, if you look at the fact that, you know, they still have a lot of smoke and mirrors, don't be surprised if it's not Jaden Daniels. I'm going to say that. Like, right now, he is obviously, you know, with his legs is the favorite. But, look, Drake May, you know, he needs to sit a year, but I think he's still developed to be a franchise quarterback. He reminds me a lot of Josh Allen. That has been the biggest comparison. Yeah. J.J. McCarthy, look, I mean, not a lot of respect been put on his name. Lost one game.
Man, I know. I fight it all the time on X. Like, I feel like I got to be a J.J., but, like, I fight it all the time.
He lost one game. One game, like, playing in the pro system.
Yeah, people don't like winners, man. They just they fall in love with everything else. They don't like winners, though. They say they like winners, but they really don't. They like who they like. That's how I judge people. You like who you like. So, but yeah, I mean, to your point about Drake May, I think Drake May is like the best passer in the whole in the draft. I've said that before. I love Caleb. So I mean, non-Caleb, Drake May is the best passer in the draft. My man DJ said, I think May has Josh Allen like running ability. I'm saying, like, he's mobile too. I don't like saying that he's not, he is mobile. That's the one thing I don't like when people talk about the argument. I think that, you know, between the two, May is mobile. I mean, May is mobile. I just, obviously, Jaden Daniels is more mobile. I think that's the fair thing to say. He's just more mobile. DJ also said they didn't wake JJ to do that. They didn't wake Yeah, I guess that right. Okay. Yeah. JJ, I think I don't want to talk about JJ because I'm trying to make this a JJ. Because I don't want folks to say I'm throwing shade at Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels has a lot of ability. He reminds me of somebody, but for folks who may not be on the Jaden Daniels train or whatnot, we're gonna play some highlights of Jaden Daniels just in case y'all forgot what this dude is really all about. Boy got an arm. Boy nasty.
Yes, sir.
We ain't gonna discredit this dude. Look, I mean, right on the money, bro. That's
money.
It.
Money.
There you go. And this is the speed. This is with the element. Look how, you know, he's pulling, he pulls away. You know, he's pulling away. That's legit speed. SEC football, too.
Yes, sir.
On the dime. On
money.
And this is all right. Run it again, pulling away. SEC football. Well, skinny dude can break some tackles too.
Absolutely.
Uh huh. On the run.
A dime. Nice, right there.
A dime on the run. I'm just saying. Like, I see what some of y'all love about him. I'm not gonna hold you. And this too. Come on, man.
Yes, sir.
This reminds me of a run that we're gonna talk about. This reminds me of a run that a certain player for Washington did in 2012. We're gonna talk about
it, right?
We're gonna talk about that too, man. I feel like, you know, DJ also put out there, said Daniels has great ability. He is insanely fast and straight line speed. I agree with that. He throws some really good ball, especially down the sideline and those corner end zone throws. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And we'll get into that right now, actually. You know what I'm saying? I like how, see, look, it all comes together, man. It all comes together. And because that's when I saw it. When I saw him play, that's who he reminded me of. So we had a chance to look at the clips. I'm going to ask you, though, not me, because that's a player that I've said. But for you, Brandon, who does he remind you of? Who does JD remind you of?
Oh, absolutely, RG3. I mean, just, okay. You know, his sprinter's ability. Because people forget, you know, back to Baylor, RG3 was, you know, a track and field guy. So, you know, he had that track speed. I think the one thing I'm looking at is, you know, RG3 had to learn the hard way to a certain degree that you're not going to get a lot of those breaks in the NFL. I mean, with his size, he's going to have to learn how to protect himself, you know, because, yes, SEC football. And if you look at the conferences, that's probably the most pro ready conference, in my opinion. No disrespect to the ACC, any other league, but he's still going to have to evolve because, you're looking at these 40 times for some of these linebackers and some of these defensive ends, man, you know, they're moving. So, he's definitely going to have to learn how to protect himself. But, you know, that's the thing. His legs are going to give him the leg up as far as the O-line situation, because like I said, the O-line still needs a lot of work. Because even at right tackle, you know, we talk a lot about left tackle. Who's going to be the right tackle? I'm not really happy with Wiley being the guy, man. You know, so
yeah. You see. Yeah, I think that's a draft. I think they're going to address all that in the draft. So I kind of believe that they'll address all of those questions in terms of the O-line, like we're talking about tackles in the draft. I think there's a reason why they didn't target some vets, you know, especially when you got a young dude. I just think they have a plan. I'm all for trusting the process.
Yeah.
So I'm going with that. But for me, I think he does remind me and DJ and yourself. He reminds me of RG3. That's the first, it's wild. That's the first comp I had for him, you know, 2012 RG3. You know, because there were a lot of people or a lot of fans or even pundits, they like to throw just because you're super fast. They want to compare you to like a Lamar Jackson. And I'm like, he is not Lamar.
No.
Just because you're fast doesn't mean you're Lamar. You know what I mean? There's elements of elusiveness when it comes to Lamar. Like you have to be like Lamar can get out of a situation when there is nowhere for Lamar to go. When you're looking at somebody like Jaden Daniels, he's more straight line speed, like DJ said. He's straight line speed. So it's similar to, like, if you remember RG3, it's very similar to RG3. RG3 was straight line speed. It wasn't like RG3 would, if he was stuck in the pocket, could he maneuver out of the pocket to avoid a sack? RG3 was mostly like straight line speed. Even when he ran, when he was downhill, he was hard to get. But when he was going sideways, it was easier for a defender to catch up to RG3. So they're very similar that way. I've seen someone say that he's not elusive in the pocket. Yeah. That would be a concern for a lot of people, which would be a concern for many fans too, if you're not elusive in the pocket. But here's the thing that I think DJ said, which I kind of agree with, but I think he is more polished. I think he is a more polished RG3. Now, it's crazy because RG3, so people feel like this is my thing. RG3 and Baylor, he had two really good years in Baylor, his last couple years in Baylor, which is different. RG3 threw for 4,000 yards in Baylor his last year when he won the Heisman. Also, I think he threw for 3,000, I want to say, in his junior year at Baylor. Yeah. I want to say, you know, so I know Baylor threw for his junior year, threw for 22 touchdowns. At the 8 picks. And I think his senior year when he won the Heisman, he threw for 37 touchdowns and 6 picks. Which, you know, if you look at what Jaden Daniels did his last year at LSU, threw for 40 touchdowns, 4 picks, right?
Yeah.
So I do think that, you know, they're very comparable. And the issue when he comes here, well, if he comes here, like I'm saying, if he comes here, is that, you know, the Shanahans provided an offense that can, for him to be very successful. Can we all say that we believe that Cliff Kingsbury can do the same, so he can, you know, they can utilize his skill set completely, so he can get that 2012 RG3 like performance?
I'm gonna say yeah. Because, I mean, that, look, Kingsbury knows how to get the best out of a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a really good coordinator. I mean, head coach is a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, coordinator, you know, his track record speaks for itself. I mean, you know, he was probably one of the few coordinators got really the most out of Johnny Manziel. And that says a lot, man, if you look at, you know, his storyline, man. But I think this is the perfect situation, because I agree with the comment that he's more polished RG3, because What was the biggest knock against RG3? Throwing from the pocket. You know, when his leg, you know, the leg injuries really limited him. You know, his inability to throw from the pocket really – was his downfall. Where if you look at Jaden Daniels, there's some things to work on as far as his movement within the pocket.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got the moxie, man, to be able to throw from the pocket. I mean, you look at his arm, accurate. You know, he can throw the deep ball. And throwing across the middle is another thing I kind of want to see him do.
Yeah.
He didn't do that enough, in my opinion. So, you know, he's definitely got to learn how to not only throw across the middle, but to set his receivers up for success going across the middle. But to me, you know, he's the best candidate. Now, like I said, I'm with you, man. Regardless who it is, look, my allegiance to the franchise, not so much to the quarterback. So if it's Drake May, I'm with it. I'm supporting it. If it's JJ, I'm with it. I'm going to support whoever's under center. You know, I just want to – my biggest thing is set them up for success. Yeah. But Jaden Daniels, man, he's the second best quarterback in this draft. I mean, obviously Caleb, but like, we ain't getting Caleb. I mean, it'd be nice. It'd be real nice if he fell, but I don't see it happening. You know, everything's set up for Chicago to get him. I know a lot of people want us to trade back, but this is a sexy draft for quarterbacks, man. I mean – look how much talent there is in the draft when it comes to quarterback. I mean, Bo Nix to me is a guy who can come in and start now right away. Maybe not. And I can see him going to Denver. A Penix, you know, he's definitely got his plus and minuses. But to me, if this the surprise pick in this draft is, if it's not Jaden Daniels, it's going to be JJ McCarthy and not Drake May. Because he is, to me, the most pro-ready quarterback. I say Jaden Daniels, but that's because of the O-line. But as far as, you know, being the most pro-ready guy, JJ McCarthy, easy. It's not even close. Because, absolutely. Pro system, you know, coached by a former, now current NFL head coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a system guy. I mean, look at his stats. I mean, he's not a guy who's going to run a lot, but he's a perfect system quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right, you know, look, Tom Brady found the right system. I'm trying to tell you. So, you know, you find the right system, you find the right supporting cast. I think JJ could be successful. But if I'm a betting man, I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels at number two.
All right, my man Taj. What's up, Taj, the homie? He said, if the team was in a better space, I would say May, but this team needs an instant boost. That's JD. Yeah, so that's something we said earlier, Taj. I will say this, though. I think that – all right, so I'm trying to keep this a JD show, so I'm trying to really be like JD friendly. But I will say that this team, JD, if he's not a complete bust, be real. If he's not a complete bust, they should be able to win games with him, because the legs will stall time if he can't figure out NFL defenses. You know what I mean? Like, it'll figure out. That's not saying that I believe he's the best quarterback in this draft or even the second best. That's not, but I'll provide flowers in this. Like, he can be just, for instance, just like for like the RG3, just like RG3 situation, just like RG3 being took the lead by storm because of his legs and his arm and his everything, right? Everything was just electric, but his legs made him that much scarier, right?
Yeah.
The way the Shanahan's used him. But Andrew Luck was still good. Andrew Luck was 10-6 and took his team to postseason. But the person you talked was rookie of the year was RG3.
Yeah.
But if you looked at who was the better quarterback throughout, you know, their careers, even when RG3 came back, it was still Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck had injuries too. Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, just because, yeah, to everyone's point, yeah, he could be better right now. Yeah. I think it's an easier if you want to make the argument that he's gonna be better than the other quarterbacks in year one. Yes, I can see that. Because the legs will stall time. Like, shoot, Anthony Richardson looked decent because of what he can do with his legs initially. And if you saw him throw the football, you weren't impressed, you know, thoroughly impressed with him throwing the football, but he was a problem before he got hurt because of what he can do with his legs, and it kind of would stall time for him. So for Jaden Daniels, like, the thing about him is that he throws a nice ball. So it works. So if you're worried and concerned about him running the football, he can kind of get you if you're sleeping, right? Because he does throw a nice deep ball. He does throw a nice football. So I do think it goes both ways. I think that his legs do help him in this situation. But I don't want to like shortchange Drake May and say he can't run, because I don't like that narrative, because Drake May can run too.
Yeah.
Like, he can run too.
No, I agree, man. You know, Drake May is definitely being slept on. He could definitely extend plays. I mean, he can run now. Is he going to pull off runs like Jaden? Nah. And I wouldn't expect him to. You know, to me, he's more of a Josh Allen, you know, a bigger quarterback who, you know, he's going to lower his shoulder pads and he's going to get to work. So, you know, Drake May can come in and be successful. You know, and that's the biggest thing now, you know, with his fan base, is that at times we just can't be happy with his fan base, right? I mean, we got a new owner, we got a new GM, new coach, and it's like, we're still at it. And a lot of people get into their camps. But the biggest thing to me is we're in a position that we haven't been in a long time, which is we finally got an owner, right? We finally got a GM. We finally have an adult in the front office. You know, we finally have a coaching staff who, look, they're putting all the right guys in the right pieces. I mean, to me, I like Dan Quinn, but the biggest acquisition in coaching staff outside of Dan Quinn was Joe Witt. I mean, because his mentality on the defense, man, this defense is going to be a whole new unit next year. So the biggest thing with Jaden Daniels or whoever you put under center going forward for the Commanders, you have to put the right pieces to support him. Left tackle has to be addressed this draft. It has to be. You know, receiver, this is, you know, outside of quarterback, this is a big receiver draft.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go out there and get a guy who's a taller, more physical receiver opposite Terry McLaurin. Yeah, and that's why I said Jahan Dotson, put him in the slot. You know, perfect size for the slot, because you can't have two guys, 5'11", 5'10", as your number one and number two. You got to have a physical, bigger receiver on the other side of Terry McLaurin. And really, Terry McLaurin, look, new regime in town, man. So he's got to step up. You know, I definitely want to see a 1,200, 1,300-yard year from him, man, because he's got to solidify himself as being that number one. So, you know, you got to put the right pieces in place. You know, at cornerback, you know, we've got to go find that number one. You know, if I'm in the second round, I'm looking at Kool-Aid McKinstry, man, out of Alabama. I'm telling you, you need a lockdown corner, because are you really ready for St. Juice to be your number one guy? I'm not.
I mean, I think that these dudes, I mean, I have a lot of faith in Dan Quinn, put it that way.
Yeah,
I think that he can make those dudes a lot better than what we saw last year. I think all of them. I'm not a big fan of St. Juice, so I'm not defending him. But I'm saying that I do think, for instance, I think that you'll see better play from Emmanuel Forbes and whatnot. But my man Taj has a question. Do you think this team can afford to wait on Drake May to develop if that's the hang up on him? I think this team's, why not? Who are we waiting on? This team isn't good enough. They were a bad team last year. So for me, why not wait? Like, that's how, like, it's not a situation where Washington is good enough to, it's not like they're on a win now phase. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can wait. Like, Buffalo waited on Josh Allen.
Now, I agree.
And yeah, because Josh Allen was before his after his first year, folks were saying Josh Allen was a bum. He was a bust. They waited for Josh Allen. Now everyone loves Josh Allen. So you can wait.
Yeah, I mean, there's two perspectives, right? It's the business one, and there's the football side. Yeah. From a football perspective, we're not really, I mean, if we surprise people, that's cool. But we're not geared to win now.
Yeah.
We're kind of in the gray area where we're not rebuilding, but we're not competing. We're still trying to figure out you know, the right pieces. Exactly. So he could develop.
Oh, you're building like a mug.
Hey, you don't try to be positive.
I know y'all. We rebuilding. Folks need to, I need folks to know this. We are rebuilding like a mug.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll call it a soft rebuild. You know what I mean?
Because
Carolina, they rebuild.
I mean, you talking about left tackles, bro? Like they just ready to draft some. They ain't getting no left or right tackles. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, you rebuilding, bro. Yeah, this is a rebuild.
But you know, Drake May. I mean, he could definitely develop in year two, come out and be the guy. Now, the thing is, you're dealing with the business side, which is, look, you're trying to bring people back to FedEx or whatever it's going to be called. You're trying to bring the fan base back because last couple of years, every home game has been an away game pretty much. I mean, you're trying to bring people back to the stadium. So how are you going to do that? Bring a name like Jaden Daniels, who, you know, is a guy who's a dynamic talent. That's going to bring people back. So you got to kind of look at the business side of it and the football side of it. I mean, you know, nothing against J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix. You know, Drake May, but you know, Jaden Daniels just that dynamic talent that people like are excited to watch.
I think that this is the thing. I feel like I'm gonna be real. Like JJ probably won't excite the fan base. I know. I love JJ, but he won't. So folks will come for Drake May. I already know they'll show out for Drake. You know, you want to see the electricity with Jaden, but they'll be like as long as you get like there's a portion of the fan base that will come out for Drake May. Like it's a big portion of the fan base. So you'll have and there'll be people just like me and you that would be like, you know, whoever they get, we're gonna support the young dude. So it just represents change. And that's why people will show out. You know what I mean? They'll show out for either quarterback. To me, it's all about, you know, if you trust it, you trust the regime. If you really trust the regime, then it is what it is. My man Jordan came out and said, no high school coaches on the staff will definitely help. Yeah, I agree, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm with you on that, man. My man Todd said, Josh took 3 years. This coaching staff can survive 3 years. They can survive. Yeah. Like what I'm saying. So it doesn't – in the end of the day, if we're talking about can we wait as a fan base, yeah. You went through Ron Rivera, you can wait some more. Ron Rivera was horrible. Like you can wait through Ron Rivera, you can wait through this. It took the Niners with even Shanahan. They had to go through having Bobby Bethard's son or grandson as the quarterback, you know, and they weren't that good. And eventually they built the pieces for what they are now with Shanahan and John Lynch. So I'm just saying, like, folks can wait. This is a rebuild. If you're sick and tired of losing to the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles and the Giants, if you're sick of it, you're cool to wait so you can win some games. So I'm just saying you can use. Taj had another response. I want to make sure I put him out there. I like both quarterbacks, but that's the debate for me. JD is for now, and May is future forecasting. I agree. I think to your point, I agree with you, Taj. I believe that. It's like an RG3 Andrew Luck thing. Luck was going to win off the rips. I'm not trying to but I'm saying that some people felt comfortable with RG3 that season because of his legs, he can kind of carry the whole offense in a way, right? But Andrew Luck was great too. He was 10-6. He went to the postseason that year. Yeah. So I'm not shortchanging Andrew Luck. I'm just saying that, but in the long run, if you forecast long run, even as much success that RG3 had that in that year, you forecast it, you would have thought like a lot of folks would say like a lot of folks already knew off the rip like Andrew Luck would probably be the better quarterback, even with the success of RG3. Some people believe that, and RG3 was amazing. Just saying. So,
yeah, I mean, it's all about to me is all about supporting cast. Yeah, I mean, if you look at Chicago. You know, Justin Fields, you know, whether you hate him or love him, you know, he didn't have the supporting cast. And this GM.
He had the coaching. He didn't have the coaching.
Oh, absolutely. But if you look at supporting cast, you know, now they knew that if I'm going to get Caleb Williams the number one, I've got to go out there and find another receiver. Keenan Allen. You know, I got to go out and find that running back and, you know, DeAndre Swift. Yeah. You've got to have the foundation in place. You know, if you look at, you know, the fact that they have our former defensive end over there, you know, they got the defense guys over there.
Yeah.
They had to have the right supporting cast because. They knew that to a certain degree, Chicago did fail Justin Fields. Now, I'm not going to put everything on Chicago, but you've got to have a supporting cast if you want them to succeed. And looking at the Commanders as far as Jaden Daniels, Drake May, whoever you put in there, you've got to have the right pieces because quarterback's not the only thing we need. Now, obviously, that's the big hot topic at number two is quarterback, but look, left tackle is probably the most important acquisition we're going to have.
It's the most important position for yeah. No one wants to talk about it. They just want quarterback. Everybody's fixated on quarterback, but I get it. I'm fixated on quarterback too, but it is the, to your point, it is definitely the most important position. You know what I mean? That's why I don't really hate. I mean, I don't want to trade back, but I don't hate it either.
Yeah.
I don't want to, but everybody knows I want, you know, the person I want, we're not going to get. So it doesn't really matter. The person I really want is Marvin Harrison Jr. See what I did, Taj? But I can't get him. I already know. I've kind of like, Taj, you should be happy. I've let it go. That's what I want, though, for real. Like, I want that for. That's who I really want. But you know what? And we're going to stick on JD. You know, we are going to stick on JD. But yeah, I will say this. A lot of anytime I hear that we're not in love with the player, like some people may not be in love with a player,
yeah,
their flaws. And I'm like, then I get mad. Then I'm like, well, there is a sure thing, in my opinion, in Marvin Harrison Jr. And we're just going to let him walk. But we're not sure about these quarterbacks. Anytime I hear like the radio and folks say that, I get really annoyed. Like I get really annoyed because I'm like, y'all not sure. Marvin's still there. Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? But that's a whole different discussion. And I'm trying to stay on topic because I've been told that I will always bring Marvin back to the argument. Here you go, man. Bring Chocolate City back. You know what I'm saying? So I've been told. So I'm trying to stay consistent and not bring my man Marvin Harrison to the building. But for you, what do you, Brandon, what do you like mostly about Jaden Daniels?
His versatility. Like I said, his ability to throw from the pocket too. Like he's got some things to learn as far as being a pocket passer, but he's more, again, the best comment was more polished than RG3. He's a lot more polished than RG3 in that respect. Just, you know, his legs, you know, his versatility. Obviously, you know, go back to Drake. I know it's JD, you know, I got it. But it just, that would be the biggest thing, the versatility. You know, like the dog in him, you know, he's got a little dog to him. You know, he's not scared at the moment. Now, the biggest things I do want to see from him is, and I noticed on his pro day, was anticipation of passes. You know, you can't wait till he's open to throw the pass. You've got to anticipate. You know, before he makes that cut, the ball needs to be out. And that was the biggest flaw with him. And probably one of the few biggest things that scouts got on him about at LSU was, you know, he makes a safe play. And a lot of people want him to take risk. And you got to take those risks.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you – I always get like – that one kind of gets to me. I'm cool with you. Take educated risk. That's what I call them. Called educated risk. But I am – oh, here you go. All right, there you go, represent. Okay, you got folks out here representing. All right, so so for me, I am more for like I like to me anticipation. That's important.
Yeah,
that's very important to me. I do think that you need to anticipate, but you also like that's why it's so tough in college to kind of grade him out because you didn't have to really worry about anticipating because you had two first round wide receivers out there getting open. So what do you really have to anticipate for real? I think there is a little anticipation when it comes to throwing the deep ball. So I'll give him credit with that. You have to anticipate your receiver beating that man. And you're not going to throw a perfect pass if you're not anticipating something on a deep ball. You know what I mean? So I do think that people get a little, you know, not because I love anticipation, but I feel like when we see these quarterbacks, people get overly critical, right? Of like using that. But what I like to see, what you mentioned, is throwing up the middle. I think that's important. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to be able to just throw outside. They're going to funnel you inside. As they funnel you, the NFL game is so different. They'll funnel you. If they funnel you inside and you can't do it, then that's a problem. You know, and that's the thing. Like we talk about Griffin. If you remember Griffin in 2012, he threw the ball inside the middle. He would hit my man Davis up the middle. Davis from USC. Trying to forget his
Vernon Davis?
Not Vernon Davis. I'm sorry, Davis. From US. He went to USC. I'm trying to remember it. It'll come to me later. But
I know you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about. But yeah, he would hit him up the middle of the tight end, or you know, or even Logan Paulson at times, right? Yeah. He would hit him up the middle. So he was a little more versatile in the NFL game, throwing the football. But that's more of a design from Shanahan, right? You know, they did that little read option and the tight ends sunk up the middle and he had somebody up the middle. So that was more Fred Davis. Thank you, man. Thanks, Todd.
There you go. Okay. Gotcha. Yep.
So I do think I would like to see him do that more. But what I do like about him, What I do like about him, I like the way he throws a deep ball. I think he throws a nice deep ball. I like, you know, his threat as a explosive runner. And I think that does bring to what ties into what you were talking about, Brandon. I believe that that's an advantage for him in year one, but he has to be, but the league will take that away from him.
Yeah.
If he isn't capable of throwing the ball up the middle, they can take that away from you. Just because you're fast doesn't, just because you run fast doesn't mean you're going to be good in the NFL. The difference between, I will say this, to me, he's a better passer than Anthony Richardson, but the difference between him and Anthony Richardson is Anthony Richardson is built like Cam Newton.
Yeah, yeah.
So he can take those hits. You know, and even that, you saw what happened to him when they ran him. He got hurt, and that's a big boy. That boy is huge. But you look at Jaden Daniels, he doesn't have that same type of build, right? So if he's not an individual who's one dimensional, like if the fear is that he doesn't throw the ball inside and he just stays outside, then that's the NFL take that away from you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care. Unless you have Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson, they're taking that away from you. You know what I mean?
They're taking
that away from you. And like you said, with the wide receivers, they're so limited. They're just all the same.
Yeah.
There's no 6'6", 6'4", like 6'4" wide receiver. You have to be perfect, right? Like you can't. You really, and as great as Terry has been in locating jump balls and playing big, you still kind of have to, you know, you got to make life easy for a young quarterback. You're gonna have to kind of find a receiver that can kind of erase a bad throw. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. And that kind of leads into the next point, which is at this level, he's gonna have to learn to rely more on his weapons and the guys around him. Where, you know, LSU, you know, you had a couple of guys on the outside that are probably gonna be really, really good in the NFL, but you know, he still took it upon himself to, you know, to carry a lot. You know, take a lot on his shoulders. Yeah. In the NFL, man, you can't be that guy. You know, RG3 learned the hard way, you know, taking it on the shoulders, rely on the talent around him. And that's why I said, you know, not only do you help Terry out, you're helping him out by, you know, getting that physical big guy on the outside, because your receiving core can't all be under 5'11", man, because, you know, you really limit yourself to how, you know, your play calling and capabilities as far as offense. So, you know, go get that physical receiver to help him out. You know, Eckler is going to be really the unsung hero, in my opinion, because his versatility of not only – adding a threat to the backfield, but to the offense overall was a really, really good move by the Commanders. So, you know, just rely on the weapons. You know, the O-line, definitely got to solidify the O-line. But I think he's going to be all right. You know, and like it really leads us to the next point, which is regardless, I think we're going to be all right at number two. We're going to find a legit franchise quarterback. It just depends on how long they want to develop and how long the fan base is going to wait, man, because you already know that draft day, man, one side ain't going to be happy.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. One side ain't going to be happy. It's like I told folks, it's like Crips and Bloods out here, man. It's crazy. It's like Crips and Bloods when it comes to this fan base. So for you, how many, you know, we had an amazing season with Robert Griffin III in 2012. Team went 10-6. How many games do you think Daniels could win as a rookie for the Commanders?
Ooh.
Oh, my man Taj also had a comment. So I think that's why the Ertz and Eckler pickup was important. I agree, man. I agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Games. I could see us winning seven games, to be honest, man, because there's going to be a lot of growing pains regardless, man. You know, chemistry, you know, when you talk about chemistry, you know, is more prevalent in the NBA. But people don't realize how important chemistry is in football, especially between quarterback and receiving and quarterback and O-line. So it's going to take a year or two for them to kind of simulate, build that chemistry, especially whatever pieces we add, receiver. So it's going to take some, you know, we're going to have a bunch of bruises, but I can see around 7, maybe 8. I mean, we could surprise, but I don't want to be that guy, man, because I always get real optimistic every year and it disappoint me. So I'm not even going to do this year. But I'll say this, you know, if you do look at the NFC East as a whole, man, there's a lot of turmoil. I mean, Dallas, you know, there's already questions about Dak and his future. You know, there's questions about McCarthy and his future. Philadelphia, same thing with their coach. You know, can Jalen Daniels be that guy? You know, if you look at, you know, can Saquon Barkley stay healthy? Like, you know, New York, they're always a mess. So,
always,
you know,
a mess.
You know, the one thing that gives us a leg up is that we are not the most dramatized franchise in the NFC East this year. You know, obviously, you know,
not anymore,
right? So, so it took some time, and finally we got there, right? So,
yeah, we finally made it. We ain't sad no more. We finally made it. I know, ain't that the truth? So anybody who listening, you know, give us your 2 cents. How many games you think the Commanders can win with Jaden Daniels as the quarterback? For me, I'm not putting all the pressure on Jaden Daniels. So what I mean by that is, you know, it's how many games, it's what Cliff Kingsbury can do to make Jaden Daniels look good. Because I know you mentioned that, you know, he has a good track record, but that's mostly like in college. And he had Kyler Murray. That's who he wanted. And it only worked for a couple of years, right? And Kyler had to. And we know a lot of people didn't blame Kyler, but at the end of the day, like you still are. You're still the coach, right? And that is your offense. And also, like, yeah, you're the head coach, but you were a head coach that coached the offense. You know what I'm saying? So I can't take that away from you. Like, you are the offensive coordinator on that team. Yeah. Like, you were the offensive coordinator on the team. It's the same in any situation where we, like, now folks are getting McCarthy flowers for what he did with Dak, regardless of how the season panned out, compared to what old boy they had that went to the Chargers and I trashed the offensive coordinator all the time. I forgot his name, but anyway, he went to the Chargers and messed up my man Herbert up. But McCarthy gave Dak his best season. So it's at the end of the day, you're still calling plays. You're still the offensive coordinator. So to me, it's all about what. Kellen. Thanks, DJ. Kellen Moore.
Yeah, got you.
So, to me, it's all about what Cliff Kingsbury does for this team, calling plays, and how he makes life easy for Jada Daniels. Because I do agree with everybody. Like, this is the best quarterback for a Cliff Kingsbury offense. You know, if we look at the track record, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him with a quarterback. Like, I mean, I guess you could say, I mean, Caleb Williams isn't like them either. Like, he's kind of different. So I'm going to give, like, Caleb Williams isn't like Jaden Daniels either. So I will give him that, right? Because Caleb Williams is a different breed. He can run, but he doesn't run like Jaden Daniels. He don't have that type of perceived 4.4, 4.3 speed, right? That's what it looks like. He didn't run the 40, so I can't tell you his 40 time. It looks like it. It looks like he's a 4.4, 4.3, 4.3, 4.4 type of dude.
Yeah.
But if we're looking at from our own knowledge and what we've seen, this is the perfect quarterback for him. But it's all about, can he create a system in the NFL that is going to be successful? You know what I mean? Because if he creates a system like Shanahan, because I think that's the only issue I have with Jaden Daniels talk. We make it seem, and it's not on Jaden Daniels, we make it seem that Cliff Kingsbury is Kyle and Mike Shanahan. And we don't have any proof of that. We have proof of that in college, but college is totally different from the NFL game. You know what I mean? Like, that's my only hiccup. Because when you were in the league, your offense was good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like 2012. It was good. I mean, I'm not going, it was good, but it wasn't like 2012 RG3 good. But it was good, though. Like you were good, but I would make the argument that Kyler Murray, in my opinion, is better than Jaden Daniels. That's a whole different argument. I think Kyler Murray is a scary threat. You know what I mean? That's just me, though. I think he's a consistent. He was a consistent scary threat to me. But that's again. But you couldn't be consistent with that type of talent. Can you be consistent with this dude? That's what I want to know. Can you be consistent and help him out in this situation?
Oh man, look, you brought up a good point, and that's the point that a lot of people don't look at, is that the coaching has to be right to set him up for success. You know, and that's why the spotlight is really on Cliff Kingsbury out of all people. And you hit the biggest point where all pieces have to be right, you know, as far as the offense. The defense has to be on point because they have to, you know, definitely give him the opportunity to succeed on the offensive side of the ball. And then but coaching, you know, he's got to be on point. You know, looking at, you know, last year and really with Scott Turner was, Scott Turner was too stagnant. He was too predictable. Mm-hmm. You look at Bieniemy, kind of the same, but didn't utilize the run game. You got a couple of good running backs now. Yeah. You know, one could be a third, you know, third down back. He can receive. And Brian Robinson, man, the spotlight's on him too. You know, I mentioned Terry before, where I definitely want to see him kind of step up this year. But Brian Robinson, man, I want to see 1,000 yards plus.
That's what I want to see from him too. I agree with that. I think they can utilize that too. Just utilize all your weapons. Don't put all the pressure on a rookie. Don't think that's a fair thing to do to him at all. All right, so for you, which player, before we go to the next topic, talk some Wizards, but which player do you think would benefit the most with Daniels on the squad?
Oh, easy. Scary Terry. I mean, if you look at when we went to The backup quarterback, Brissett.
Oh, Brissett,
automatically, yeah. You saw a totally different passing game from Sam Howell. You know, I'm not gonna get on Sam too much. He's no longer with the team, but you know, his inability to get the ball out really hurt Terry, man. You know, and so I think that you got a guy who can throw that deep ball. Terry's your guy, but I think again, it goes back to finding an opposite receiver that's going to take a lot of pressure off Terry because he's been. You know, he's been doubled. He's had so much pressure on him. And you got to really configure this wide receiver room. And that's why I said, put Jahan at the slot. Make him all a slot receiver. He can eat across the middle all day long. Go get a 6'3", 6'4", guy in the draft. Maybe another guy at the fourth. And go from there. But Scary Terry, you get a guy who can throw the deep ball, who can definitely utilize a guy who can run routes. Scary Terry's going to have that 1,400-yard season, in my opinion.
I think the best, to me, the player should benefit the most because it's going to be harder to throw outside if you haven't done it before. They're going to take it away from you if you can't do it. And I think he's going to force him to throw. Defense is going to force him to throw inside. And I think to make life easy for him, they're going to showcase certain players. I feel like to make life easy for him, they're going to put him in a position to throw the ball to Zach Ertz. Okay. So I think Zach Ertz may be a guy that benefits the most out of with him. Because I think that he'll be a good safety valve for him.
Yeah.
Because just like you, like you stated, you know, you want to see him throw in the middle. Defenses will play him that way then. You know what I mean? If you can see it, they see everything. So they feel like that's a weakness, then they're going to put him in a situation to throw the ball in the middle, and the tight end is typically that guy in the middle. So in my opinion, I think that's a situation. That's a player that you're going to see benefit the most. Also, obviously, I think Eckler will benefit the most with him. And Brian Robinson, because I feel like a dual threat thing with either of those dudes will open up running lanes for the running back. So I do think the running backs will definitely have an advantage with him on the football field. My man DJ said, I don't think people understand the pressure of being a head coach. I think Cliff Kingsbury had too many responsibilities. Cliff reminds me of Norv Turner, great OC, not a head coach. Well, again, I will say this. Norv has proved it. That's what I'm saying. We don't know what Cliff Kingsbury can really do as an OC. Yeah. What he can do in college. That's the thing. I think we all have graduated him on genius status. I actually honestly think that people have put Cliff Kingsbury on this Mount Rushmore play callers because of he's like the sexy look. Like he looks like Sean.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a look than actually his actual play calling. Like I don't know if folks have really watched an Arizona Cardinals game and like, man, this dude can draw up plays. Like, nah, man. Like, I just think we do that. And I just say, and I'm not saying you, DJ, but everybody does that, like has done that with him. I feel like it's more of a, he looks like this person, therefore he calls plays like this person.
I feel you on that. Yeah, I definitely feel you on that. But, you know, and like I said, for us to be successful, a lot of people have to be on top of the game, man. It's not just on Jaden Daniels, man. Coaching has a lot to do. So, you know, spotlights on a lot of people. Like you said, Cliff Kingsbury, he has to prove he could be that guy at this level. Because, you know, the perfect point you made, man, which is, you know, from a college standpoint, you know, you're doing your thing in college, but the NFL, we need to see that success at this level. So a lot of people, you know, this is definitely a show-out season for them, in my opinion. You know, 1,000-yard back, I definitely want to see for Brian Robinson. You know, I want to see Terry really solidify himself as that one in the league, man, because, you know, he's definitely up there, but he hasn't had that season where it's like, okay, now I see, you know, you really stand out. So I think that, you know, the right moves of this draft, you know, especially, you know, the first three rounds, man, are going to be very, very important for this team because you best believe, you know, the first three rounds, these guys are going to be asked to come in and provide a lot of minutes on the field, man.
Yeah, they're going to have to. They have all these guys. They're going to have to really, really, really produce at a high, high level. But, yeah, man, this has been a dope Commanders discussion. But it's time to talk some basketball, you know. Plus, I love basketball. Everybody knows that. I mean, I love my Commanders. They're my favorite sports team. But still, man, basketball is my first love, though. So, point guard – we all know the point guard position is like the quarterback in the football field. Like, it's the quarterback. That's the point guard. Like, they own it. They do the darn thing. That's the thing. So, we're going to talk some Wizards. We're going to talk about the Wizards point guard situation. Washington Wizards guard Jordan Poole has been playing better since playing more point guard. Since Tyus Jones has been out, Poole has averaged about 21.2 points per game, 7.1 assists. The Wizards are 4-10 during that 14-game stretch, but he's at his average. His current average is 17.4 points per game and 4.4 assists per game. So his numbers have jumped up, right?
Yep.
Are the Wizards for you? Are the Wizards a better team with him playing point guard?
Absolutely, without a question. Okay. They are absolutely better. I mean, they're better in the present and the future, in my opinion. Okay. I mean, no, look, Jordan Poole, you know, I was one of I gave him a lot of smoke. I mean, you know, a lot of maturity issues. I mean, you know, the Shaq to the Fool moments, you know. Right, but I believe that he had to acclimate to his situation, right? You go from a team at Golden State where you're sitting, you know, six man to a dynasty on his last leg, man. You know, so a lot of these deficiencies were kind of hidden behind the leadership of, you know, the big three over there in Golden State. But now, you know, more responsibility, you know, a lot more scrutiny is on you being the face. And he didn't have that in Golden State. You know, now in D.C., you know, the face, you got to take the L's and the wins, right? So,
facts.
He got boobas on fan base. I mean, this guy caught smoke by every major sports media outlet in the country, if not the world, man. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, look, he wasn't happy about going to six man, but at the time, that was the best choice for the team. Mm-hmm. You know, and he definitely responded. And then now being pushed in the starting point guard, the fact that he took so many L's at his age, man, because look, young players, they either succeed or fold under that pressure, man.
Very true.
And he took his L's, he worked his butt off, and he's playing some good basketball right now. I mean, he's 24 years old, he fits the mold of the rebuild. People forget, though, he still needs to be developed, and he's doing that. You know, and not so much as far as on the court, as far as mind frame. You know, to be a leader, man, you've got to solidify yourself, you've got to harden up a little bit, and I think he did that, man. Because being a leader, man, you're the face. You know, look, when you lose, it's your fault. When you win, it's all on you. So you've got to be able to take that. And, you know, you better praise God that he ain't in New York or L.A. or Philadelphia, man, because they would have really gave him the smoke. But
he should be happy he's not. Yes, you're right. He should be happy he's not in those towns. Correct.
Man.
Correct.
But look, 24 years old, he's still 2-3 years away from his prime. This is the beginning of his prime. I mean, and you look at the supporting cast, this is not a bad supporting cast. People got on Tommy Shepard about his drafting, but it's not so much that his draft picks at the time were bad.
Yeah.
It's that they didn't fit what they were trying to do at the time.
True.
At the time, you needed guys who could step in and start and contribute right away, and we didn't do that. We got guys who needed to be developed. And that's why you always hear that argument, Tyrese Haliburton versus Denny Avdija, which, who was a better pick? And, you know, a lot of people ain't going to be happy, but maybe Denny, because if you look at the fact that we can't develop people at the time, would Tyrese has then been that guy in DC
would he be the same player?
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know, man. I don't think Ray would be like,
he loved Tyrese. He was like, they should have been drafted. That was his thought. They should have picked Tyrese Haliburton. He liked it. He liked dude from what's name too. He thought they should have drafted over Corey Kispert, old boy from LSU, the shooter, the scorer that plays with Brooklyn.
Cam Thomas.
Thomas, man. Mad at that. He was like, I don't know. He's like, Cam Thomas should have been a Wizard. But go ahead, man. My bad. I digress. Continue.
Oh, no, you're good, man. I mean, that's the biggest thing is that these draft picks had to develop. Denny had to develop. Came into the league. The defense was already there. Offense had to fluctuate. Now, he's not hesitant to take that shot anymore. You know, this guy has broken out this year. You look at Corey Kispert. Obviously, defensively, he definitely needs to improve defensively. But he's a three-level scorer. He's a three-level scorer. I mean, in my opinion, next year is his contract year. You have to explore. Everybody needs a shooter. Everybody needs that guy to be a
player. I agree.
Why not extend him on a team-friendly deal? You know, so we have capabilities here. You know, Bilal, before he went down, man, look, the sky's limited with him. I mean, his intangibles, before it's said and done, Bilal could be 6'8", 6'9". I mean, he's still growing. And all he has to do is add the offensive game. His defensive game, in my opinion, is already there. You know, Johnny's Johnny.
he had double digits. Yesterday, right? He scored double-digit points yesterday.
Yeah, he's looking better. I'll give him that. You know, and I'm not going to go down the road of whose fault it is, the shot and all that, but because it's a whole nother conversation.
It's all good. I know that's right. Oh, so it's – all right, so back to, like, for Jordan Poole, for me, I mean, I'm so anti-Jordan Poole. So let me say it this way. He's played better. Like, he's definitely played better. But the bar is low for me, though, when it comes to Jordan Poole. So I'm not going to say that for any – I told you this off air, but I'm going to tell the listeners, the bar is very low for when it comes to me and Jordan Poole. But I will say him at point guard, I think it's better for him. That sounds – I'll say that. It's better for him. I don't think that it really helps the team win with him at point guard. And the reason why I say that is He doesn't play winning basketball down the stretch. Like, he doesn't. What I mean by that is not the shot. It's not the shot selection. Well, it is the shot selection. So let me take that back. It is a shot selection. But it's not that he misses a shot or, you know, he's not playing solid defense. It's not that. It's not that at all. Because truth be told, even being young, because you played on the championship team, you would automatically have the premise and the thought process to say you know how to play championship basketball. Yeah. But really, he doesn't know how to play championship basketball. He just happened to be on a championship team. Yeah. Like, when you see it, because down the stretch, the shots he's trying to take aren't winning basketball plays. And I think that's the thing. Like, when you play point guard, you have to make winning plays if you're playing the one. Because the ball is in your hand. You have to make the right decisions. We chastise. We joke. We bash James Harden, you know. But a lot of times, James Harden makes the right basketball play when he dishes the ball. Like, yeah, he travels on a step back. But he makes when he passes the rock, he makes the right read. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jordan Poole doesn't always make the right read. And down the stretch, it's more of, yo, I'm a street baller. I'm going to try to get this shot any which way I can get it. You know what I mean? So it may not look like the NBA play, but I'm going to try to make this play. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing when it comes to Jordan Poole. For me, like, is he good? Has he played better? Yes. I think the fair thing to say, he's played better. You know, the stat numbers don't lie. In terms of individual stats, he's played better. In terms of, does that help you equal more wins? Because to me, at the end of the day, that's what a point guard job is, to help you win foot basketball games.
Yeah.
I don't think he does. I don't think he can help you win more than, say, Tyus Jones is running the point. I think Tyus Jones running the point, you're going to get the right basketball play. You're going to get, like, if Corey Kispert is hot, Tyus Jones is going to find Corey Kispert.
Yeah.
If Kuzma's rolling, Kuzma's going to get the ball. Now, like, the only difference between Jordan Poole and Tyus Jones is that if Tyus Jones is going, Tyus Jones probably wouldn't take the shot. If Jordan Poole is going, Jordan Poole is going to take that shot. You know what I mean? Which is a good thing. Like, if you're going, sometimes you guys say, scrap it. It's my time. Like, this is me. This is my work. Like, I've set y'all up enough. This is my work. So that's where I'm going to give him credit. Like, he's not scared to get his shots off. Like, not at all. But I do think when you're the point guard, you got to look. If your other players are doing work, you got to just keep force feeding that player. And I just think that he doesn't tend to do that at times.
I mean, he's never met a shot he didn't like. Let's be real. I mean, the thing about Jordan Poole is that head coach, man. I mean, you need a head coach who's going to hold this team to a standard, who's going to dig into some players. I like Brian Keefe. I do believe they responded to him. You know, from hearing him speak, you know, he's a real good coach. You know, he's done well for this team.
Yeah.
And you know, at the very minimum, he deserves an interview at least, because I think they definitely responded to him, and he's definitely been a good coach for this team. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe you go out and you look at a Juwan Howard, you know, that type of coach. You know, Mike Budenholzer, would he want to come here? You know, depending on, I mean, money talks. So, maybe, you know, look, they, you know, maybe there's a price out there that can lure him to D.C. You know, Sam Cassell, I know Bradley Beal's big on him. You know, go get a coach who's going to hold his team to a standard.
I wish he would get a job.
Absolutely. I'm with you, man. I'm a big Sam Cassell fan. Is that you got to have a coach who's going to hold him to a standard. Wes Cassell Jr., nice guy. I mean, really good guy, but it's not a popular contest. It's a performance-driven league, man. And he just, to me, wasn't that voice in the locker room to get in the people. You know, if you look at the most successful coaches in NBA history, man, it's guys who, one, hold their guys to a standard. Two, man, look, you don't want to play right, you ain't got to play. You know, look at Pat Riley. Pat Riley dug into people, man. He dug into people. You know, Phil Jackson in his own way. Even Steve Kerr, you know, each coach has their own way of doing that, but you have to hold a standard. There was no standard here. You know, you've had so many issues of Shaq and fool moments, immaturity, people fighting on the court, people fighting in the tunnel. People, you know, Wes never solidified and put his foot down and said, look, this is what we're doing. This is the standard, and go from there. So I think it believes in coaching. You get a coach in here who's going to say, look, you want to be the guy? There's parameters to being the guy. You know, and he still has to be developed. And that's why I think it's good for him to be on a rebuilding team right now, because
that's good. That's,
you know, true. It gives him all the opportunity. Look, nobody's expecting anything from the Wizards for at least the next 3 to 4 years. So you know, everybody's looking at the 2025 draft. Cooper Flagg. So you know,
that's a draft
forward.
For real.
That's the draft, man.
Not this draft. The other draft. That draft.
No, though. But I will say this: I get it. A lot of people aren't high on this draft, but this is a highly developmental draft, and it's, again, that's why it's perfect that we have two first round picks.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Just guys who could be all stars. They'd have to be developed right. You know, and I mean, Alex Carr, man, a lot of potential, but very, very raw offensively. You know, so he's going to, you know, and he's potential number one pick. Same thing with Risache, Zachary Risache. He's a guy who, you know, he can definitely spread the floor, but he's got to add that, you know. So it's a highly developmental draft, but we have nothing but time. So
yeah, I got nothing but time. Yeah, we're just a bunch of time, just like the Commanders, a bunch of time. There's no rush. I'm serious. DC, there ain't no rush, DC. There ain't no rush. Look, the Nats, bunch of time. There ain't no rush. Y'all, yeah. Look. The whole city on rebuild mode, bro. The whole city on rebuild mode. So I'm just letting y'all know, like, shooting the Capitals are on some type of rebuild. Like, they may be trying to get to the postseason, but they on some rebuild stuff too.
Yeah.
So look, we got time. We got time out here. So for you, so I think you already answered it though, but with his recent plays, Jordan Poole has changed your mind, huh? He has typically changed your mind. That's what's up, man.
Yeah, it kind of went up and down, man, because when he first came over here, I was like, I was very excited because I saw the sample size he had in Golden State.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the issues happened. I'm like, all right, man, now we probably going to have to send a first-round pick to get him off the payroll. And now it's like, it's just what impressed me the most outside his play was his mentality. And because to take that amount of, I mean, he got smoke from everybody, man.
I ain't going to lie, man. He took a lot of shit. I mean, I'll say that for you. He took a lot of shit.
Yeah, I mean, so the fact that he kept working told me a lot about him as far as, you know, his mind frame and where he's at. So, yeah, I think that if he wanted to, he could be that next great Wizards point guard. I'm going to say that. Because, look, John Wall's my favorite Wizard. Gilbert Arenas is my guy. Top three, obviously, my trinity of Wizards basketball, man. I'm an 85, baby. So, yeah. I'm definitely rolling in Bradley Beal, John Wall, Gilbert Arenas. That's just my preference, you know.
Okay.
But if you look at John Wall, what couldn't he do? Couldn't shoot. Look, Jordan Poole can shoot. He stretched floor. You know, when he's driving, when he's really motivated and driving the lane, he reminds you a lot of John, man. Just his ability to drive the lane and finish at will. So, I mean, if he locks in, there's a lot of ifs. I get it.
I feel like because I love John Wall. I love John
Wall. Yeah, me too.
As a basketball player, like I do, I just think, I think very highly of John Wall. I will not let you compare Jordan Poole to John Wall.
I know, man. It hurts to do it too.
But I do like with Jordan Poole, he shoots better than John. So that's the truth. That's a factual statement.
I mean,
but John Wall, when he drove to the basket, there was intelligence when he drove to the basket.
Yeah.
I'll say that much. Like Jordan Poole, when he drives to the basket, it's like Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get. Like, I'm serious. A box of chocolates. Like, that man, he'll go to the basket, and if it's shut down, he ain't scared to throw any junk, period. Yeah. At least John will try to dish that thing off if he gets stuck. Like, Jordan Poole, sometimes I'd be like, bruh, like, where are you going? Like, okay, it's not going to happen. Then it's like, he'll try to throw, like, it's like you playing horse with the dude. It's like you really playing horse with this dude. But I get you, though. No, I get you saying, like, I think it's wild. I think he wants to be John Wall. I kind of see that, though. I think he wants to be John Wall. Like, I know he's hit a basket. Like, this is my city. I think he hit one basket when I was at a game. He said, this is my city. I was like, bro, too soon. It's not even close. Like, not even there yet. you're not even there yet. Like, cool. It's really more cool city than your city for real. Cue the buck. But, I mean, just like you, what you're talking about, I think you do want to see growth, right? Like, your goal is to see growth from him. And I do think that's going to happen. I think that's a thing that can happen. You can see growth from eventually some growth from Jordan Poole. I mean, they're invested. You know what I mean? They're invested, so they should. They have time. Like, they have time with Jordan Poole. But it's all to be real, it's really all on Jordan Poole.
Yeah,
it's what he wants out of it. For real, that's my thing. Like, what I don't – the reason why I kind of – like, I'm interested to see how he responds from this season, because I didn't like how he responded when he left Golden State and he came to Washington. He was like, I won a championship. My legacy was already submitted. It's been submitted. Like, bro, you ain't got a legacy, bro. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Like, you won a championship being a sixth? All right, bro. Like, all right. Like, that's not a thing. Like, no, if you want to be, your legacy ain't. So now it's as if, like, now I can play around in D.C. Like, I can – like, now this is my canvas and I can just do whatever. Like, I have freedom to do whatever. Like, nah, if you are one of them, if you like LeBron's, the Jordans, the Kobe's, the Magic's, the Larry Bird's, like, if you one of them dudes, then you ain't. Like, you tapeworm hungry. Like, you always starving. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything is about getting better. Like it ain't my leg. No, I'm building on what I'm doing, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like James Harden leaving OKC and being content, even a championship. He got to the finals, being content and saying, all right, I don't need to be a better basketball player. I can just, you know, score 20 and that's it. Cool. No, I'm gonna try to be, I'm gonna be MVP.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so for me, when I look at him, I'm like, no, that's not something I want to hear from a dude that wants to be like the best player and like that you want to be one of the best players in the league because you're still relatively young. So hopefully, man, in the offseason, like all that smoke that you're talking about that he's been getting from other fans, from fans, because that mean you're like your rarity. There's a lot you like Jordan Poole. Like, there's a lot of people out there that I've been when I put some stuff out there on social media.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, dang, y'all Wizards fans, why y'all so y'all real negative on Jordan Poole? Like, this is crazy. Like, so hopefully he understands that there's a fan base that you got to produce eventually. Because yeah, they ain't going to take your Shaq in the Fool, like you're talking about, those Shaq in the Fool moments. They're not going to take that forever. So hopefully in the offseason, he's about being better. Like, because you mentioned him, because it's a guy that I call him my favorite Wizard.
Yeah.
And Corey Kisper. That's a guy that's gotten better every year. Like, I know when I watched Corey Kisper from year one to now, I know the basketball is very important to him.
Yeah.
Because you just said he's a scorer at three levels of basketball. He can score on three levels of basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Could you say that year one?
No.
Could you say that year two?
No.
But you saw improvement from year one to year two, though.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And now you're at a point where you say, like, dang, he can do a lot more with the basketball in his hand, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you saw the basketball IQ early on.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of the guys don't come out of Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga is just one of those programs where, you know, guys come out pro ready, man.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at Rui. I mean, Adam Morris is one of the few exceptions. But you saw the IQ.
Yeah.
You know, with Jordan Poole, he just needs to be developed. You know, and you mentioned the perfect thing. You either have that dog mentality, that mama mentality, or you don't. You know, shout out to Vince Carter, this Hall of Fame guy, man, just got in. But could you imagine if he had Jordan's drive? He would be up there in the GOAT conversation.
I agree. If he had Kobe's drive, if he had Kobe's drive.
Oh, man, can you imagine?
Because he's more talented than, in terms of God-given ability, he's more talented than Kobe.
Absolutely.
But he doesn't have his Kobe's drive, and that's what, I agree with you, that's what separates you from one player to the next. Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. So, yeah, hopefully Jordan Poole comes in the offseason and becomes a better player. I want it for Washington fans. I want it for the real fans. I'm glad that the Washington Wizards are not moving to Virginia. So I'm putting that out there too. I'm happy for the Washington fans who are really Wizards Bullets fans, who really want this team to be better. Hope he can do it for them. Like, I want him to do it for them because covering games, sitting in the media section. When I hear those fans cheer this team, that's those fans that I hear are real Washington Wizards Bullets fans. Like, those are the fans that have been following this team forever. So I want it for them, man. I ain't gonna hold you. I want it for them because they deserve it. They really do. They do deserve it. They deserve a winner. You know what I'm saying? They deserve a winner.
I mean, we ain't won a championship since the 70s, bro. Like, so I mean, we need to figure this thing out.
Hey, yo. Oh, here, my man, George said it's good that Ted got humiliated into doing the right thing. I still hope he sells the Wizards caps. Yeah, Ted's a, you know, don't get me started on Ted. You know, one thing I'll say, that he's been exposed because Daniel Snyder is not an owner anymore.
Oh, man. Oh,
but we'll say that he's being exposed, like, because it's easy to work when you're dealing with the worst owner in the world. But now, since he left, now it's a little different. Now people can pay attention to you. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Man. Saying. Yeah, you ain't got Dan Snyder, man. What they say is, like, Arkansas's favorite state is Mississippi, right? I ain't Mississippi, right?
Exactly. I'm just saying. You ain't got to worry about that no more. So now people looking at you. People accept the learners and whatnot. They about to sell. So if they accept that situation, but you are Just saying, bro. Just saying. All right, man. This has been dope, man. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. We're about to close this show out. Before we close it out, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. And also check us out at the Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.urbansportsscene.com. Hey, before we close the show out, man, hey, Brandon, I appreciate you being on. Hey, man, plug your show, man. Plug everything, man. You know, that's what time it is. I want you to plug all your information, bro, so folks can know what time it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate it. You can catch me over at Locked On Wizards with my co-host, the real Dad Oliver, man, chopping up everything Washington Wizards. Catch me over at Washington Football Man X with my co-host, Greg Sykes. Everything Commanders, man, we definitely got a lot of good stuff, content coming out, man, going into the offseason, man, so definitely rock with me there. I'm on Twitter, a.k.a. X, Brandon_7Scott, so definitely check me out on that.
And man, also he's an awesome Wizards reporter too, bro. Like I gotta put that out there too, bro. Come on, man. You and Ed, man, both of y'all, man. Like put that out there, bro. Y'all awesome Wizard reporters, man. Asking great, excellent questions, man. Real talk. Anyway, man, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega. Lead us out, big homie.